I see that chat's rolling. Let's do an audio check real quick. I need to experiment on something. Let me know if it sounds like I'm talking to a microphone. Audio and videos, 100%. Thank you. All right, good. That's what I wanted to know. I can't hear myself, but I do need to know is, can you guys still hear me just fine if I'm talking like this? Because that tells me that I don't have this hooked up right. So let me know. I see you guys said the audio was perfect, but what about now? Awesome, awesome. Loud and clear. Keep the mic closer. Thank you, Kareem. That's the first response I saw that gave educated me what was going on. Two days ago, when I released my Book of Job analysis, I wasn't on what I'm about to reveal to you today. I'm going to show you what in the Book of Job just opened my eyes, and I saw everything with perfect clarity. One single sentence in the Book of Job when I was doing that video. It's the reason why the Book of Job took a few extra days to release. It's because what I found, it is absolutely so profound. I am very, very confident that the majority of you are going to agree with me in this video. What I'm going to reveal is shocking. In fact, I laid most of this out for someone very dear to me, and she kind of had a meltdown. Truth is like that. When you hear something, yeah, truth doesn't have to be defended. Only a lie needs to be defended. Truth resonates at a certain frequency, and you pick it up. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to reveal the truth about what's been going on the last 3 years, what this whole narrative has been about. Guys, it's deep. It runs deep. You've heard bits and pieces and fragments. You've never had the whole thing put together for you. I promise you, you're going to love the fact that you are here listening to this live. No intro. So we get a little small talk done. I got my tablet on the side over here because I got two pictures I need to show you guys, because what I'm going to show you is so absolutely unbelievable, it must be seen. Oh, I seen somebody talking about the hexagons. Hello, Dr. Corey Stern. Shiva Shampoo, always good to see you. And JJ Recon, always here. Pamela Swan, I'm just waiting a few more minutes. You know, I didn't use my 3 minute long intro. Most of you have memorized it. You know every single book I show in that damn thing now. So I just wanted to be able to get a few more people in here. it don't even matter about that like button. That like button don't mean anything. This video is fixing to reach out and touch those it needs to touch, because that's what the apocalypse is about, guys. The apocalypse is about an unveiling. And someone dear to me reminded me when I was going through all this data and I was researching it, and I saw what the other side is doing, what their playbook is. It's fascinating. And I'm sitting here talking about these things, and the other side is controlled up, but they don't think they are. They think they're allied to God. They have no idea. They have no idea the control mechanisms that completely have taken over the entire world's churches. They're not the opposing team, guys. But look, we're in the middle. That's the beauty of observing these things. The beauty of the apocalypse is the unveiling. Yeah, guys, when I can't sum it up any better than this, but the oversoul is not going to limit the actions of either side. But when the dark decides to make its move, there is a corresponding move on the side of the light. Unfortunately, many people think they're a part of that light, and they're not. So we're going to get into this, guys. We're going to get into this. This is one of my deepest, most profound presentation. I've been humming and vibrating all day long. All day long. Believe me, Don will tell you here in the comments, I have been on another wavelength for the past week. I have not been normal, Jason. I have been putting together videos and seeing things, and I've just been deep off into my research, and it's like, wow. They don't have a clue. Man, so many talking heads out there going off. They just don't know. You guys are going to know today. I even got on YouTube and I Googled and I did everything. I did everything last night and this morning to make sure that what I have found and put together has not been found or published anywhere. Bits and pieces have, but then they take that piece, they run with it, and then they burn out. Somebody a year ago got real close off the translation of a single Greek word. They got real close. Somebody sent me the link this morning. I was really shocked. I listened to the whole video and I was so distressed. Like, wow, you spent a whole hour talking about all these things and you had it right there. And then you just totally left it alone and missed it. And his heart's in the right intention. And he got the translation to that Greek word right, because that's what we're doing today. The book of Revelation was written in Greek. This is a very fundamental key fact that we cannot depart from, because it's the Greeks that tell us how to decode it. And it's fascinating. And in January 2020, I'm telling you now at the beginning of this video that the first seal that begins the apocalyptic countdown to the Great Tribulation was broken in January 2020, and we missed it. Programmed to interpret things in different ways. We are programmed almost from birth not to see things that are right there in front of our face. It's amazing. We're going to get in it. Waiting for a few more people in here. Yeah, guys, I've been getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, wide awake. You haven't even seen the presentation I've really been working on. It's because all these things keep getting in my way. But I woke up at 4 a.m. in the morning, wide awake. When I got on my computer, I pulled my Chronicon out, and I stayed in Chronicon for about 9.5 hours. That's all I did. If something is true, it will always be seen from multiple different mathematical vantage points. So I went through the history of the world in Chronicon, and I found this amazing patterning that leads up to 2040. You guys have already seen my Phoenix phenomenon, 138-year periodicity of the Phoenix. You've already seen all the isometric projections in my Phoenix videos, over 40 different isometric patterns that all end in 2040, linked to major events in history. You guys have seen that. Those of you who have read my published books, you've seen all the pi and phi patterns that lead to 2040 and show that this massive great event, what we call the sixth seal of Revelation, is going to happen. The return of the Phoenix, the sun will go black, the moon will turn red, this fallout, rocks will fall from the sky, massive earthquake such as the world has never seen, and the kings and the great ones of the earth will hide in the caves and the mountains. Listen, you guys have seen all the patterns. You've seen all this material that I've released on that, but you haven't seen this. You haven't seen that showing the lunar patterns, using the ancient Egyptian system of counting moons, every 138 moons. Using this system, I have put together a chart in a video presentation. I'll release it. It'll probably be one of the next videos. Not the next, but one of the next videos. It takes some time preparing, but I'm going to show you how I can tell you exactly what's going to happen in May of 2040, and we can remove 100% of all the data I have ever shown you and just stick with this one system. Just showing the moon count system of the ancient Egyptians and how May 2040, the return of the Phoenix, the breaking of the sixth seal of the apocalypse, is linked to all these historical events. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Yeah, guys, I told you guys in a video priorly, Hawaii should watch out. It's in one of my prediction videos. Hawaii should watch out. Volcanic stump something. Now, volcanic was me and was my interpretation. I just, in the calendrics, I just saw fire and ruin and destruction. But that's neither here nor there. I get bored with the predictions videos. Hell, everybody in Australia, most Australians probably hate me by now. Long before they had their wet season, they were having a dry season. And I put out in a predictions video that, according to the calendrics, Australia is about to enter the wettest season in 100 years. And according to some people, Aussies that keep emailing me, it hasn't stopped. So, I don't know. All right, guys, we got enough. Thank you, Corey Stern. We got enough people in here to get this party started. So we're always going to start this party with a good swig of coffee. All right. We're going to get candid first. Before I start pulling out this data, we're going to get candid. And what I mean is, if we're going to take something seriously as an eschatological document, a prophetic document, no matter what its origin is, I know the church likes to claim many things. One of those things is the fictional story that John the Apostle was on the Isle of Patmos when he received a vision of God and he wrote down the book of Revelation. It's an absolute lie. The church made that up. It's not true. Some of the writings of Revelation are very, very ancient. They could have never been originally written in Greek. Greek is what they were translated into. Some of them were borrowed from Cerinthus, who had gathered many of the pieces of the old Sibylline oracles. So we're dealing with a text that is very unusual. And in my own presentations and published books, I have revealed to you over and over that the cipher for understanding the book of Revelation, the book about the future, the last days, the end of the world, that book must be decoded by knowledge of ancient history. Much of that ancient history is in Genesis. But you can't use history in between from ancient times to unfolding history in the last few thousand years to the last few centuries and think that you're going to be able to decode the book of Revelation. It's not going to happen. And the reason scholars know that the book of Revelation was not originally a Greek text is because it has absolutely nothing in its imagery in the symbols, these poetic metaphors that are Greek, nothing. What we find in the book of Revelation is a text that was translated from another language into Greek, but the symbols that are in the text itself are Sumerian and Akkadian. In any student learning their tables and tablets in the second and third millennium BC would have easily understood what many of these symbols were. We're going to go through a few of them in here. They're absolutely necessary because the elite know these symbols. They do it right in front of us all the time. We're going to talk about that too. We're going to talk about the rituals that led up to 2020 and what really unfolded. So there is, when I say we have to be candid, guys, nothing like the breaking of the first seal. Something like that would be ubiquitously known. Just lay back and claim, well, that's just something that happened over there. No, the seals are all designed to be worldwide events. The first four seals are the first four horsemen of the apocalypse. These are worldwide events. If they don't affect you, it doesn't mean that you didn't have some type of knowledge of the unfolding of the events themselves. The breaking of the seal would be something that not only broke pattern to normal reality, but it would have also gotten everybody's attention. It doesn't matter if they knew or not a seal had been broken. It doesn't matter if their own paradigm did not incorporate this eschatological text known as the Book of Revelation. What matters is in January of 2020, the elite had everyone's attention. Everyone. That's not evidence of the breaking of the seal, but what I'm going to reveal to you is. So we have to consider. It's really easy to look back in retrospect from where you sit right now and just think, ah, the last, it was just a hiccup. It was just a speed bump. No, it wasn't. The last 3 years totally altered the trajectory of millions, possibly billions of people's lives. It ruined many people's lives. Some of those people are just now realizing how ruined they are. Consequences. What was rolled out? The pattern break was everybody staying home. Was everybody now glued to the news, trying to figure out what's going on? What's their next move? Most, you gotta understand, most of the people listening to my voice right now are not among the collective. You guys are waking up. You're a part of a new family of humanity, a new front. Yeah, guys, there's not two teams here. There's the darkness and there's the false light. And then there are those who are highly individualized souls who are objectively watching all of this unfold, because an observer, a watcher, is not a participant. And if you're not a participant, then you will not fall victim to or suffer the consequences of being on either team. This is going to get deep, guys. I'm going to reveal some things in this video you're not going to be comfortable hearing. But by the time you lay your head down to sleep tonight, you're going to cogitate on these things, and you're going to realize just how liberating it is just to know this material puts you in the extreme minority of humanity. This is going to get profound. I need more coffee. I saw somebody said something about the remnant, and somebody else said something about Kobe's death. Absolutely, you're on to something. It's called ritual. That's right. Okay. Energy flows where attention goes. Absolutely, guys, every single time. I have a feeling this video is going to take off, and I'm asking you guys that, listen, when you hear my full presentation, when I get to the end and drop these truth bombs on you, as my friend Bro Sanchez likes to do, I don't have that button, but I will make those sound effects. I'm asking you to share this video, because people got to hear this, because you're about to hear and you're about to resonate with pure truth. So, we can't sit back and think that what happened in 2020 and then continued to unfold in 2021 and is still affecting people in 2022 and now 2023, an event of that magnitude, which involved almost the entire world, would not have prophetic significance? No, it did, and we missed it. The greatest truths are always found in retrospect. I've said this many times on my channel. So we're going to get into that. But in order to understand exactly what I'm talking about, we're going straight into the book of Revelation, straight to the chapter. Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. The first seal is broken. This is how it reads. I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. This is the New King James Version, guys, and I don't like it. I don't like it because I study the interlinear version, especially the Hebrew-Greek Key Study Bible put out by Spyros Zadhaides. But it's okay. It conveys the message that we need. But we're going to go deeper, because I'm going to give you a Greek transliteration. So, in this passage, there are three key words separating the first horseman from all the others. This is the first seal broken. Remember, in my past presentations, I told you guys, the beginning of the apocalypse is an unveiling for those who will wake up. The rest are going to suffer the consequences of the seals. The seal, the events of the seals themselves will either wake you up or increase your sleep. By the breaking of the seventh seal, the Great Tribulation begins. When the Great Tribulation begins, all bets are off. You are who you are. I'm just going to But here is the three things that separate the first horseman from all the other horsemen are the color white, the bow, no arrows, just the bow, and a crown. There's nothing else. Those are the three things that are the focus of the first horseman: the color white, the bow, and the crown. But this is a Greek text, so you need to hear how it sounds in English if we were reading it in Greek. Let me explain. This is how it would read. And I looked, and behold, a horse white, and the sitting on it, having a bow, and was given to him a crown. And he went forth overcoming, and that he might conquer. The Greek actually gives us more than the English translation that I read earlier. Let me explain. And I looked, and behold, a horse white, and the sitting on it having a bow. There is no mention of a rider. And you'll understand when I get further into this presentation, because it is an act of prophetic genius. We're going to get to it. Having a bow, and was given to him a crown, and he went forth overcoming, and that he might conquer, not that he does conquer. The word bow, this is where it gets deep, guys. The word bow in Greek is toxin. T-O-X-O-N. Now, the bow shoots arrows. Arrows in history were used to deliver poisons to victims. Now, I was informed only hours ago by somebody in the comments section. I can't remember who it was. I was vibrating. I'm moving at 100 miles an hour. I want to thank you right now if you're in my chat, but you dropped a link to a video of Pastor Steve a year ago when he had the suspicion that the first seal had been broken with the whole pandemic deal. And I want to applaud Pastor Steve. He's absolutely right. But he spent an hour almost convincing himself that he was wrong. He's the one that led me to understand the Greek. That's what got me to pull my Greek interlinear out. Now, a year ago he released a video and then didn't follow up on it. He just left it alone after that. It's crazy. There's not much else in that video, just that one point. But anyway, I was informed of this earlier today, so I want to give credit where credit is due. I always do that. You know, my bibliographies are extensive. So if Pastor Steve listens to this video, I credited you for that observation. It drew me into everything I found afterward. It's amazing. So Pastor Steve already made the connection to toxins and the arrow of the first horseman. So now, many of you know this, and we don't have to go into a whole lot because people have beat this fact up over and over. But crown in Greek is corona. No big deal. Other people have mentioned that a lot. But where we're going with this is a direction that you cannot foresee. It is amazing. Crown in Greek is corona. Although the term corona was first used in English in the 1500s, it actually derives from the Latin word for crown. So, the first four seals are actually four horsemen. Horses in ancient times were symbols for rapid delivery. And this rapid delivery comes in the form of someone wearing white. So let's go. I'm going to provide you the summary now. These are just the facts. These are just the Greek translated facts. This and the meaning of these symbols. This one sentence, the meaning of the first seal, there's a lot to unpack, but it's going to go a lot deeper than you think. So the summary of the first seal, just taking just the imagery that we just read and putting it together, because you know I like to reduce everything to its lowest common denominators. A worldwide event, broken seal. Rapidly, horse, bow, arrows. Poisons victims, empowering, crown. The poisoners, represented in white. I'm gonna say that again. A worldwide event, rapidly poisons victims, empowering the poisoners. And we got this from broken seal, horse, bow and arrow, crown, and the color white. So the four horsemen are basically four world events, the beginning of the breaking of the seven seals. And the seals need be broken to usher in the reign of who's the main character in the book of Revelation that leads the beast kingdom against the forces of good. Who's the subject matter? In Hebrew, his name is Abaddon, translated as place of destruction. But in Greek, his name is Apollyon. So it is Apollyon that we need our focus trained on. In Revelation 9:11, we read, "And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon." Apollyon means destroyer. Apollyon is no different than Shaddai of my prior videos. Now, Apollyon's throne is mentioned by Pausanias. The ancient historian Pausanias mentioned that Apollo's throne, Apollyon, because his name is Apollo. Apollon is actually Apollo in Greek, but we have simplified it in English to Apollo. Apollo's throne from the 6th century BC is described perfectly by Pausanias. Scholars have used that and artists have used that to create different depictions. I don't have to tell you what to look for. I'm just going to show you. This is an artist rendering from a long time ago of what Pausanias said Apollo's throne looked like. I'm going to make sure you guys can see this. The first horseman carries what? What do you see? Apollo's throne, 600 BC. That's 2,600 years ago. Oh, but we're not done. We are not done. Now, so the apocalyptic narrative is of the seals being broken to open the gate of the abyss. This is the focus of Revelation. Apparently, the demons can't do it on their own. They need help. So, the narrative of the book of Revelation is the breaking of the seals, which is like a war against humanity. But in the breaking of the seals, there's great liberty and freedom. And I've explained this in my other presentations. The fifth seal reveals some of that. Now, someone is helping these demons fulfill their goal. They can't do it on their own. The goal is to open a portal that Apollyon can come forth. So I don't know all the logistics. I don't even claim to know. But we're about to go into some deep stuff here, and that's what this video is about. I'm going to tell you the truth, and I'm asking Christians, I'm asking decoders, I'm asking anybody out there who wants to pick up the torch and run with it, because there's a lot more to find out here. I'm not claiming to know it all. I'm just claiming to have discovered the fact that January 2020 was the breaking of the first seal. So let's continue. The objective of the Book of Revelation in the beginning is to release Apollyon. So who is this ancient Apollyon? Apollyon is Apollon, and Apollon is Apollo. How do we know this? How do we know that an ancient Greek god named Apollo is the subject matter of the Book of Revelation? How do we know this? Let's look, because the Book of Revelation was written in Greek, so it's to the Greeks that we're going to defer to. What we're going to find, my word, is harrowing. Apollo was the god of archery. I'm going to let that sink in. Apollo was the god of the bow. His arrows spread pestilence. A really good example is in Homer's Iliad. In Homer's Iliad, the Greeks are attacking the walls of Troy in Ilium during the Trojan War. Apollo shows up and begins shooting the ranks of the Greeks with arrows. When the arrows hit the ranks of the Greeks, the animals, the horses and the dogs in the army of the Greeks got sick and died first, and then the men withered away and died. The arrows of Apollo brought disease. Apollo was also the god of prophecy. What? We are decoding a prophetic text right now that was translated from older sources, but ultimately into Greek. Apollo was the god of prophecy and oracles. There was also an oracle of Apollo. Guys, every bit of this can be Googled by you, or you can do what I do and go through these books and these encyclopedias and look up different gods. You will see everything. None of this is recondite. None of this is hard and difficult to find. Apollo was the god of healing, of plague, and disease. Every bit of this can be confirmed, guys. And what's really, really creepy, the ancient Greeks used to call Apollo the physician. Now, some of you aren't going to get this statement, because you see in all things only the surface and not what lies beneath. But I've tried to warn my listeners quite a few times that this whole narrative of saving the children is about something else. The collective will always pick up the torch and run with such a noble ideal, but that's not what the elite are really doing. Apollo, according to Greek mythology, Apollo was always focused on protection of children. We already know that a crown was given to him. That means great authority, right? That means, I mean, didn't didn't the pharmaceutical companies get great authority? Weren't they able to decide what was going to happen and not? Weren't governments deferring to the pharmaceutical companies when this was going on? Who gave them this great power? They were given a crown, right? Well, I'm going to go deeper than that, because if something is true, it can be seen from multiple different mathematical vantage points, or just vantage points. And in this case, Corona has a deeper meaning, because anybody who has studied Greek mythology will know that the wife of Apollo was named Corona. I'm not making that up, guys. Easily verifiable. Here's where it gets even more sinister. Apollo and Corona had a son. His name was Asclepius. Now for the second picture. Asclepius is the god of medicine. Here is a picture that you need to see, because this is the symbol for both Apollo and Asclepius. And I'm pretty sure you guys can see that. Just take a minute and process that. You can put this down somewhere. Now, Asclepius was educated by Chiron, one of the most mysterious and most ancient of the Titan era demigods in Greek mythology. He was educated by Chiron. Chiron means the hand. Chiron was a white centaur. A centaur is half horse, half human. Not only that, but the centaurs were masters of the bow and arrow. The phrase four horsemen, here's where some of my Christian brothers are going to get real twisted. The phrase the four horsemen of the apocalypse is not found anywhere in the Bible. It is a Christian eschatological description of the four horses and the four seals of the apocalypse. But the term four horsemen is not in the Bible. It's what we call that passage in the Bible. It's in Bible commentaries. It's in many books of the Bible, but it's not. And there's a reason for that. Because the first horseman doesn't even have a rider. The first horseman is a centaur. This is what the Greek revealed. Remember, I read the Greek text to you guys. The word rider was injected into the English in the authorized King James Version, 1611. But the Greek doesn't have the word rider at all. So, yeah, in Greek, the word rider is interjected into the translations, but it's not in the Greek. I just read the Greek to you. The word rider was not there. The first horseman is most likely Apollo as a centaur. What does this mean to us? It means the first horseman, if it's also identifying an individual, it's identifying a hybrid. Take that where you want to, but we're not done, because in the medical profession, for over 1,000 years in the medical profession, doctors had to say the Hippocratic Oath. Hippo in Greek means horse. The Hippocratic Oath began with, "I swear by Apollo the physician." That's how the Hippocratic Oath starts. Ask anybody you know who's in the medical profession, ask any doctor, and they'll tell you. That's how the very beginning of the invocation of the Hippocratic Oath begins. I swear by Apollo the physician. Just can't make this stuff up, guys. Just can't do it. So, we have an interesting development here. In Revelation 18:23, we have a summary of all the sins of this world-ruling body as God is about to pronounce judgment. And one of the things that is said, and this has been noted by other people before me, one of the things that is said is that, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth. By thy sorceries were all nations deceived. The problem here is the Greek word for sorceries is pharmakeia. Pharmakeia, as in pharmaceutical companies. But it's even deeper than that. Because in the ancient Greek world, pharmakeia was a nymph. And this nymph, this demigoddess, protected a well that issued poisonous water. Her name was pharmakeia. This is the origin of our modern words for pharmacy and pharmaceuticals and pharmacist. Strong's Concordance. I have a Strong's Concordance. You can look these words up, and it gives you all their cognates, all their root words. They're all related. They're all rooted in the Greek word pharmakeia. And in Strong's Concordance, number G5331, pharmakeia is described as magic, sorcery, enchantment, occultism, witchcraft, drug use, poison, spells, and medicine. So, we're not done. Just taking a break. Appreciate those donations, guys. I'm stacking up gas money for another trip now. You know me, Big John and I, we're going to do some videos on the road pretty soon. So what opened my eyes? I gave you a little clue. I gave you guys a little clue that I'm going to give you a little context. I was talking to Dawn about 8-9 days ago, and I just told her, I don't like the last 2 and 3 weeks of my videos. Yeah, a lot of people like them. People are impressed. They get new subscribers. But there's a difference between allowing spirit to guide intellect and just showing off intellect. In some of my videos, I saw that they were lacking spirit. And I had talked to Dawn about it. I said, man, I don't like the direction I've been going the last 2 or 3 weeks. I need to engage in a pattern break. I'm going to do something to break pattern. Totally break pattern. And then I did. And I had told her that, you know, it's I got to do this because I'm feeling something. I need to get some stuff out. There's something for me to discover. I don't know where it is, but I have so much material. I have so many old books to reveal. I have hundreds of videos basically already outlined. I pretty much know what I want to do. I just need the time to do them. And my spirit was just bothering me. And then I just kind of took a few days off, released some montages. And I just took a few days off. And next thing you know, it just hit me. The Book of Job video. Then the Phoenix, the Moon Count Phoenix video, which you haven't seen yet. Then all this hit me when I was reading the Book of Job. And guys, I'm going to read to you the passage right now from the Book of Job that just shocked me awake. The reason you're getting this video right now is because I was doing the Book of Job video and I read this passage. And as soon as I read this passage, something unlocked in me and I saw all this with clarity. Because I've been knowing a lot of this stuff about Apollo. Greek mythology was one of my passions a long time ago. I took a lot of notes. But I never put all these things together, nor did I put together the things that I'm about to reveal. So unusual. Here's the passage. It was when Eliphaz had gone off on Job for about a couple chapters. Job then responded to his friend Eliphaz. It was in chapter 16 or 17 that Job said, remember, he's suffering boils. So Job is suffering boils, and he says, talking about Shaddai, the destroyer, who Job thought was God. He says, his archers compass me round about. He cleaveth my reins asunder and doth not spare. He poureth out my gall upon the ground. He breaketh me with breach upon breach. He runneth upon me like a giant. My breath is corrupt. My days are extinct. The graves are ready for me. That's the passage, but this is what I got out of it. Archers are the sickness and boils that archery, the arrows, archers are what Job was talking about. The archers surrounding him. Well, archers shoot arrows. He's sick. He's messed up. He's got these boils. He says these archers are responsible for cleaveth my reins. This means his stomach sickness. But reins is a word that infers horse symbolism. He poureth out my gall. That's vomiting. He breaketh me, breaking the seal. He runneth on me like a giant, pharmaceutical giant. My breath is corrupt. Pulmonary COVID complications. The graves are ready for me. In Revelation 6, it says, after the first seal is broken, then another seal, then hell and death followed. This one sentence by Job is almost prophetic and links us right there to the first horseman. All the ideas and concepts are attached. I'm not telling you that Job prophesied about the first horseman. I'm telling you that Spirit conveyed all that to me through that passage. And it resulted in the study that resulted in this video. So why is it not unusual for scholars to understand that when Job is talking about the arrows of God making him throw up and they're messing up his stomach and they make him want to die and he has boils, why does it not mystify scholars that Job refers to these sicknesses as the arrows of God? I'm going to tell you why. Because Job was an oral tradition before it was ever written down on paper, on vellum or parchment. As an oral tradition, it's a patriarchal story. During the patriarchal times, civilizations were writing in cuneiform and on tablets that were burned in kilns for preservation and then put on racks in libraries, in temples. And back then, when a god was angry with the people, he shot them with his arrows, and many grew sick and died. One of the most enigmatic tablet connections in the ancient world is from Akkad. We don't have a lot of those. Most of them are from Assyria, Nineveh, Nimrod, Burz Nimrod. Most of them are from Babylonia. Some of them are Sumerian, but the Akkadian ones are rare. And we have an epic. It's called by academics as the Era Epos. And in this era epos, we have a very unique situation. We have the god Era, who is warlike, bloodthirsty. He's a servant of Marduk, but he's a god himself. And he wants to put humanity in check. That's all he wants to do. And this ancient god named Anu had created seven subsidiaries who were gods unto themselves. And in ancient texts, they're only called the seven. So Era shoots populations with his arrows and die. But when it's time to go to war against mankind, because mankind's making too much noise, too much clamor, it's upsetting the gods, Era is given the seven to control. And these seven are described as ancient. Their origin is a mystery. They were created by Anu in the old time. This is all in the Era Epos. So what's interesting is the background is Babylon. Isn't Babylon the subject matter of the Book of Revelation? The seven who were created in ancient times by Anu, who is the eighth, these seven being terrifying and destructive and given power to destroy the world, the seven. The seven are feared by the survivors of the flood. This is in the Era Epos. The seven are feared by the survivors of the flood, and they are said to be a different group than the Igigi and a different group than the Anunna. The word Anunnaki is not found because it was a later invention. I tell you guys in my presentations all the time, the Babylonians invented Anunnaki. The original texts were Anunna and Igigi. So this is interesting. This is the Era Epos. But in the Book of Revelation, what do we read? Remember, it's about bringing Apollyon out of the abyss. But in the Book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 17, verse 10 through 11, we read, "And there are seven kings, five have fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth. And he is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. These have one mind, and shall give their power and their strength unto the beast, Apollo, the destroyer." So, we find this whole idea of shooting bows is all about creating sickness. That's what it's about. We see right here with perfect clarity that the Greek is talking about absolutely the weaponization of medicine. This is what it's talking about right here. It is talking about the great world ruling power is the Pharmakai, a goddess who protected a poisoned well, the pharmaceutical giants, that they're the ones in control. Guys, it's all here in the Greek. It's all here in the Apollo, the Hippocratic Oath, every bit of it's here. Apollo, the god of prophecy, healing, plague, and disease, anciently called the physician. And anywhere he manifests and begins moving among the children of men, there is always this movement to protect the children. What does that mean? Protect them from who? Guys, his wife was Corona, and he's got a crown put on his head that's Corona as well. His son is the god of medicine, Asclepius. And in the end, his son is educated by Chiron, who's a white centaur who is a master of the bow. Yeah, that's who his son was educated by, which means Chiron, the centaur, the riderless horseman, is actually a genius at Pharmakai, because that's who educated the god of medicine. "I swear by Apollo the physician." That's the Hippocratic Oath, guys. So it's not a mystery to me why Job would refer to his sicknesses as being caused by the arrows of God, because this is what the ancient belief was in the Era Epos. So it's very interesting. So I've almost kept this under an hour, haven't I? That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Listen, guys, I broke a record with this video. It's 2,469 people in the live. We may have broken a record. I'm not really sure, but I would like to see over 1,000 likes. I appreciate it. Anyway, so being my expertise is chronology, it does not escape me at all that In ancient times, the 20-year period was heavily focused on. As a matter of fact, the Sumerian sexagesimal system is predicated on 20-year units. So is the most ancient calendars in the world. The Mayan long count and the Olmec calendars date to the vapor canopy period, and they're based on units of 20 years. This is where the Aztecs got their calendar round. The calendar round was also based off a cycle. So this 20-year period was also subdivided. It was 3 20-year periods that were considered holy in the ancient Chinese system, because they measured time in 60-year units, thinking the mandate of heaven would change over 60 years. This was the original concept. They devolved, but in ancient times, the 20-year system was feared. They always watched out for an event on that 20th year. Now, here's what we're told in the eschatology. We are told that the last days will be like the days of Noah. Okay, well, there's a lot going on in the days of Noah, but in the days of Noah, we knew how they counted time. One of those methods was counting the days, evenings to mornings. Another method was the 20-year cycle, the Sumerian sexagesimal system. So, the 60-year period was the great cycle, and it had lesser cycles of 20 years. So I'm not surprised to find that 2020 is 20 years before 2040. For those new to my channel, and if you don't know, I have an overwhelming amount of data sets that all show that the month of May in the year 2040 is the breaking of the sixth seal. It is the return of the sixth sky dragon of mothership, and it is specifically dated to the month of May by Nostradamus. The sun goes dark, the moon turns red, red rain, red mud, and red rocks fall from the sky during volcanoes and earthquakes. It is the return of the vapor canopy. I have 3 published books that address this, probably over 100 articles, I don't know, so many hundreds of videos, I don't even know, they all bleed into each other and cross over. So much, the data, my archaic veterans, you already know, I don't even have to convince you, you've already seen the data, you know. So it's not astonishing to me that the first seal broken in January 2020 is 20 years before the return of the Phoenix in May of 2040. It's a 20-year difference. But it's deeper than that. We have to go back to 2012. What was going on in 2012? Well, let me remind some of you. The entire world was waiting on the end of the world. Now, many people didn't take it seriously, but millions did. And there are many authors who got rich off that doom saying. While one author named Jason Brashears was releasing books before 2012, telling the world and anybody who would listen that nothing was going to happen because the 13th Bacton of the Mayan long count did not end in 2012. The scholars in 1952, when they factored the Mayan long count, had messed up. And they used the 365.25 day to reckon the 13 Bactons, which are 144,000 days each. Each one, 144,000 days, divisible by 20. Each one of them. Each 144,000 day period, a Bacton, is divisible perfectly by 20. They used the corrupt year system that the Maya didn't even know initially when the system was created. They knew a 360-day year, which is divisible by 20. That's what they knew, because the entire Mayan long count at 360 days a year, being 13 Bactons of 144,000 days, is precisely 1,872,000 days, or 52 centuries, perfectly 5,200 years. But the scholars used the wrong year, 365.25. That's how they got 2012. But it doesn't. The Mayan long count ends in 2046. The return of the Nemesis X object, not the Phoenix. So, in 2012, the signal year that the publishing world, Hollywood, periodicals, everybody, social media, everybody had the focus on 2012. So what happened in July of 2012? I'm going to tell you what happened. The opening ceremony in London for the Olympics in 2012 was a ritual, and it was observed by millions of people, which means millions of people participated in a ritual that showed hospital beds surrounding inside an auditorium in an immense ritual playing out with hospital beds, IV drips, the whole shebang was laid out. I don't need to go into detail. You need to go watch it. Because in 2012, the 2012 London Olympics, remember what London is. London is the city. It doesn't belong to the people of the UK. London is the city, just like Vatican doesn't belong to Italy, just like Washington, D.C. does not belong to the people of the United States of America. There's a reason these three ancient stone obelisks from the old world were put at these locations. In London, they did the ritual at the opening ceremony, showing the hospital bed, showing the IVs. Everything's laid out for all to see. But that wasn't enough. It was the beginning. They needed closure. So in 2012, the closing ceremony for the London Olympics, they showed the Phoenix in the sky with the world underneath it burning. It's all laid out for you to see. The first ritual was a prophetic foreshadowing of the breaking of the seal in 2020. The second ritual was the unfolding of events 20 years later in 2040. It's all there for you all, for you to see. What do the Olympics represent? The Olympiads, the ancient Greek calendar. Book of Revelation was written in what language again? So, now, when it comes to ritual, they weren't done. And there's many that, this is why I need you guys. You guys need to do your own homework. You need to educate me. But I know in my heart of hearts that the entire George Floyd episode with the big old crystal glass coffin and all the protests, I can't breathe. All that was ritual, guys. Pantomime is the highest form of ritual. They are patterning. They are creating a pattern. Anyone observing a ritual is a participant. So this is what happened with George Floyd. I can't breathe. It's all part of the ritual. The ritual didn't end. They just keep adding accretions to it. So January is when several things unfolded at the exact same time. Several things. In January of 2020, we already know the whole world stopped. Lockdowns everywhere. Mask mandates going on. Fear mongering. Doom saying. All these people putting out projections that this was the new normal. People were shocked. But as this developed, an awakening occurred. Because when one kingdom moves, the other is equally empowered. Remember, this is a very old spiritual concept. There, this mass awakening, 2020 was bad for the collective, but for the individuals, this scales were removed from the eyes. In January 2020, on January, I don't know, this is weird, but on January 14th, a music group named Black Clover released a song called Breaking the Seal. No, excuse me. I'm sorry. On January 14th, the show Black Clover debuted an episode called Breaking the Seal. It was a TV program about the devil's soul word magic. Is that evidence in and of itself? No. So we're going to continue. On January 21st, the CDC announced officially that the first case of coronavirus had entered the United States. That's the CDC. On January 24th, 2020, a music group called Ghost in the Machine released a song called Breaking the Seal. A television show and now a song, both called Breaking the Seal. Ghost in the Machine is very weird. You can look this up online. I listened to it and I did not like it. There are no words that can be understood, but you have the feeling that something is speaking. It feels to me that it's AI-generated music. There are no lyrics. To me, the song is subliminal. It's called Breaking the Seal by Ghost in the Machine. Ghost in the Machine is AI. So, January 24th, 2020, NASA's Stennis Space Center hosts a massive celebration in honor of the 50th year since the Apollo missions. Apollo 1. There's that Apollo again. Of course, we can chalk that one up to coincidence. But on January 30th, 2020, the World Health Organization declared coronavirus a public health emergency. Apollo had struck. In January 2020, throughout the entire month, the Apollo Belvedere statue, a famous statue in the Vatican Museum, was fully restored. You can't make this stuff up. It's the famous Apollo Belvedere. So, At the end of this video presentation, every single fact that I just enumerated for you is going to be posted in the description box. I want you to copy and paste it. I want you to share it with people. You can't make this stuff up, guys. This is my presentation. January 2020, the first seal was broken. We're already 3 years into it. Guys, it's been 43 months. And we're just now figuring it out. Because remember, the greatest truths are always found in retrospect. It doesn't hurt my feelings knowing, because I've already been knowing since 2004 when I began publishing about the sixth seal of Revelation is an event that has happened multiple times in world history. And when you look at the exact dates for those multiple times, you find out that 2040 is the next time it'll happen. And this is the premise to the Phoenix phenomenon, all this research that until even now, guys, you know, for their shoddy research, and I've been inviting people to scrutinize mine. Until this date, not one person has stepped up to the plate to challenge me on the veracity of the bibliographic citations and chronology of the Phoenix phenomenon. And I'm telling you now, they're not going to. They would be made a fool of. I would overwhelm them with data sets. I'm equally confident now that January 2020, the first seal was broken. We're well into the apocalyptic period. We're 43 months into it right now. And this explains this awakening that many people are feeling. This is why the scales are falling off the eyes. Guys, before 2020, the elite had an iron grasp. I'm talking about they had us in a vice. Couldn't talk, couldn't say this. You get deleted. You get your channel deleted. You get kicked out off of Google. All these things were happening. Then in 2020, it seems like there's been a massive pushback. Hollywood's taking hits. The banks are taking hits. all these famous people, elitists, they're all taking hits. All these liberal pundits that have been supporting all the paradigms that have been foisted upon us by these globalists and by these extreme liberal institutions that don't want to do anything but take countries apart to globalize everything. There's a major amount of pushback back, but it doesn't matter if that pushback is going to be successful. Hell, even the first seal, it said that he's trying to conquer. It doesn't say he will. I'm just trying to call to your attention that since January 2020, a lot of people were afforded the free time to stay at home and start thinking and start realizing certain truths, to start understanding the world that they were in is not the world that they were taught they were in. This is the subject matter to my channel. This is what I always talk about in Archaics. The world is not what you think it is. But the lesson and the great takeaway from all this is that we're putting these pieces together, because when the darkness makes its move, there's a corresponding power that empowers those that resist it. That's where we're at right now, guys. It's nut-cutting time. It's time to decide who you are and where you're going to be. Are you going to be with the darkness and take the easy route? Are you going to be on the side of the righteous, which are only righteous in name and not in spirit? Or are you going to be the errant? Are you going to be the individual? Are you going to be the immortal who is here as a watcher, to observe, to grow, to learn, and to pluck those from the mire that actually respond to the word? Because you don't have to be a participant. Seeing all this unfold is spiritually liberating to me. I feel empowered. I feel way stronger than I did 3 and 4 days ago just knowing this now. The apocalypse has begun. We're 43 months into it, and it explains all this craziness. It explains all these. Remember, guys. The author of confusion is doing his job. This is what the media is doing, throwing every narrative out that it just wants you to grab one. It doesn't care. It's dungeon programming. It does not care what you believe, as long as you believe it. When it comes to the dungeon programming, negative default programming, when it comes to all the false paradigms put out by the darkness, it doesn't care. What it does care about is those of us who refuse to pick a side, because this is a world of duality. And with duality, polarities are pushed on us. You're going to accept this. You're going to accept Republican or Democrat. You're going to accept this. You're going to be a globalist or a nationalist. You're going to accept this. You're either going to be multicultural. You're going to be a racist. You're going to be a white supremacist. You're going to accept a paradigm. It's going to continue to push them on you. What it can't stand is when you just say, I'm not participating. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm a highly individualized, immortal being, and I'm not going to let you take my power. I am me. And when you say that I am me, you're basically admitting that you're an extension of the Oversoul. And as an extension of the Oversoul, you put yourself into a position of invincibility. There's nothing that can mess with you. But you got to walk it. So this is my presentation, guys. I'm on fire because I found all these things about Apollo. I put all these things together. Everything makes sense to me. There is no more confusion. I'm not confused about what happened in 2020. I'm not confused anymore that I couldn't see this in my chronological studies. I'm not confused anymore. There's no more distress as to what this whole narrative and plandemic was about. None of that. I get it now. I get it. I'm on board. I'm waiting for the next seal. Yeah. I'm on board. Changed the trajectory of my research. I now know what I'm looking for. I now understand that the Judeo-Christian interpretation of the first horseman is wrong. It was misdirection from the beginning. The darkness is so clever when it uses the false light. It's so clever. It's why we missed it. And now with this new understanding, I'm going deeper into the book of Revelation to find what I find, because it's all about the Greek. If something's written in Greek, then you better pay attention to the Greeks and what was said about them. This is where I'm at right now. I probably don't have time for Q&A, guys. Hour and 14 minutes, I don't know. This really wasn't a Q&A scenario. I just wanted to bring these things to your attention as best I could. I can. But, yeah, this isn't something for me to do alone. There are many of you out there fully capable of doing your own research and taking this even way farther than I can imagine. Yeah, I'm going on a weekly basis. I'm going in different directions. I'm doing all kinds of things. I don't have the time to devote a whole lot of attention to one subject matter when I'm trying to cover so many. Yeah, I'm fielding all kinds of things, guys. This is where I'm at in my life right now. This is what I'm doing. I got I'm not gonna lie, life is very good right now. But with the accrual of, you know, an increase of amenities and all that to make so I can free myself for 100% of my time devoted to archaic research and presentations, you know, it causes me to, you know, to spend a whole lot of my own money to do different things that need to be done and to pay others to get things done so I can have that, you know, available to me. So there's no complaints here, guys. I'm very happy right now. I can just only move so fast, even though I'd love to release a video every single day. I just can't move that fast because it requires a lot. I've got to outsource. I got to have other people like Big John helping me do things. So, but yeah, this is what's been on my mind and my heart for this past week. I've just been exploding. Oh, and don't get me wrong. You're about to get that Phoenix video. You're not going to wait long. I have a Tucker Carlson clip. It's me speaking about what Tucker Carlson said, and I'm going to release that next. It's a short video, like 20 minutes. But I need to release that too. Because he told the truth about the elite and about what they intend on doing with books. So yeah, man, you're going to get that. You're going to get that video real soon, like tomorrow. And then, after that, yeah, you're going to get that Phoenix. The new Phoenix video is awesome. It's awesome. And a lot of you guys that really get into my chronological studies, when I go real deep on the chronology and show you the patterns and charts, this is the video for you. I know it's been a while since I released one of those. You got this one coming. This one's going to be a beauty. Wow. Thank you guys for those likes. I appreciate that. Thank you. Wow. Corona is the patron saint of plague. I didn't know that. See? No, Jason's not jabbed. No. Yeah, man. That's amazing. See, you guys can educate me on a lot of things I don't know. I haven't heard at all. I get distracted a lot. You know, just, I ain't gonna lie, like this book here, A Chronology of Geological Thinking from Antiquity to 1899. This was put together by Susan J. Thompson. This book here, yeah, this book has already got my attention. It's amazing. How can I get that to see y'all better? Yeah. I was flipping through this. It's like, what? She cited all these ancient authors and what they claimed. About, you know, what they believe the world was like and what, man, it's amazing. There's some things in here like, wow, this is some Charles Fort stuff type stuff here. Yeah, I'd probably do a couple videos out of this book. I'm just easily distracted. Real quick, this isn't really archaics related. I have a copy of the only surviving longest poem ever called Antique Gems. Right here. This is an old 2,000 year old poem, but it's called Daphnis and Chloe. This is the name. This is what it is. Daphnis and Chloe. And I was just wondering, because I've already had Big John photograph every single English translation. The English translation's on the right, Greek is on the left. But I've already had him photograph every one of these because they're small. I can read all these in one video. It'd be about an hour and a half long, but you guys would like to live. This is an ancient Greek tragedy. This is something that was shown on the stage in the amphitheaters. But this is the only surviving poem by Longius. And I think it's about an hour and a half read. But I would do that if you guys wanted. I would take the time out of one day to put this together. I'm curious what it says. I haven't read it. But this book is from like 1899. Yeah, I've got that book, Operation Zion. Yeah, and the paranoids tried to Google it. They tried to find that, but they can't find that book yet. I got it right here in my library. They tried to find that book everywhere. That's another book. That's like Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. They're trying to remove everything that man's ever written. Yeah. So I hope you guys enjoyed this presentation, because in this presentation here, I went Full Metal Rabbit on you boys. Here it is right here. I need to get back with those guys because I really like them, man. But this is a Rise Above, from boys out of the UK. Yes, it is. That's crazy, Stan Waxberg. It doesn't even return a result for that. That's crazy. I have the book right here. The book that Google says does not exist is right here. I got a bunch of books in this library like that. Me and Big John tried to Google them. It's like, I can't even find these books. Oh, that's John's next project. He just finished photographing the entire 1910 version of Encyclopedia Britannica. And before he starts on the 1902 encyclopedia, all the illustrations and pictures, before he starts on that project, he's actually going to catalog every single book in the library. I've got some boxed up down there. I got a whole box of books from the 1700s. He's going to catalog them all, and Jamie Robbins and others are going to start looking them all up. And those that are easy to find, those that we can download, we're going to send them all to the same spot, and somebody's going to catalog all the free PDFs that we can find online of books that are in this archaic library. And then those that are hidden behind paywalls or something, we'll just go ahead and make the PDFs ourselves since we have the books. So anything over 70 years is not protected by copyright. We could PDF it. So pretty soon, I'm hoping by the end of the year, we're going to have a full PDF library of every archaic book absolutely free to everybody. You guys can just go to a website and download the PDFs. But this presentation is over. Ordinarily, I like to do two hours and all that. I need to keep this as short as possible because the subject matter was explosive. This needs to be a shareable video. I need to keep it shorter than my regular 2 hours. I love you guys, but I'm also very hungry, and I'm about to get something to eat. One, two kids. Hey, thank you, man. He's been right here in the living room kicking it with us. Him and his wife. We had an awesome time. But yeah, I'm not going to keep this going. I'm not going to keep this video long, guys, because of the subject matter. I'm going to go ahead and click off right now. I love you guys. Give me about 2 minutes, and the entire presentation, every data point, is going to be in the description box so you guys can read everything that we just discussed. Because, yeah, this was deep. It's all about Apollyon, guys. That's what the Book of Revelation is about. And the First Horseman shows that the elite have made their move. They made their move to begin releasing Apollyon from the abyss. Until next time, I love you guys.